Hello, guys, and welcome to the latest edition of the Black Spin Global podcast. I'm Eugene.
And I'm Lucy.
And yeah, guys, welcome to the latest edition. It's not been as long, actually.
Yeah, actually hasn't.
It's been like, what, maybe a week and a bit?
Yeah, and you know what? It looks like we had to do that because we got cooked when we took too long. That's all right.
Like, I do love that, though.
Yeah, like, no. It actually did. It was a nice feeling. I was like, wow. Like,
people actually listen to this. Watch. This is crazy. No, I love that, guys. So keep getting on us, like, because yeah, that's what we like.
And
like,
honestly,
it's good to know that you guys are waiting for us to drop an episode, which is fantastic. But so much has been going on, Lucy, man. Like, it's like, where to start?
Like, I think this is why it took me a while to do the rundown, because I was like,
shouts out to Lucy as well. The rundown this morning that she sent, my word,
on my way to work,
unbelievable, like so detailed. I was like, what the hell is this, like? Crazy.
I'm
so
just a tennis nerd.
Big up yourself.
I'm a journalist.
You really are a journalist right now. So yeah, don't forget that. But I think we should start, like you said, with all the winners that we've had. So we've had two winners, but we had a weekend where it was what? Four finalists?
We had four finalists, four different tournaments in one day.
Ridiculous.
That is amazing.
It's nice. It's
that
wild.
What a time to be alive.
Annoying thing for me, like, as happy as I was to see that, it was like, where do I keep my...
It was
difficult to kind of keep an eye on everything.
Yeah.
Because they were literally all happening at the same time. But no, man, so good to see, obviously, Guillaume Monfils win in Stockholm.
Yep.
That was his 12th ATP Tour title.
Mm-hmm. And his first title as a dad.
Yes, indeed. Which I love the post you kind of... Was that a quote tweet you did?
Yeah, I did a tweet. I did a quote. Like, both him and Elena as well, they both won their titles as parents this year, which is really nice.
Nice seeing his mum there too.
Yeah.
Like, for the whole week, which is really nice.
You mentioned that. Yeah. Honestly, that was nice.
And the oldest tour winner, or the fourth oldest. So it's 37 years old.
37.
Like,
I can't believe Monfils is 37.
He doesn't look it. He doesn't move like a 37-year-old.
Listen.
Like,
crazy.
So it's just good to see. And he's back in the top 100 now too, because he was outside the top 100 at the start of that tournament.
Yeah, because he wasn't playing for a hot minute.
Exactly.
Because of injury. So
it's good to see him back. And a nice way to end the year for him as well. Obviously, he played Paris later on, which we'll talk about. And then there was also Ben Shelton. Shouts out to Ben.
Hey.
Tokyo champion.
ATP 500.
Like, that is mad to think. This guy, what? Literally, last year, he wasn't even... he just turned pro. But this is his first full season on tour. So all of these experiences are new for him. And yet, like, he's looked like he's been here for years.
Listen. I don't want to hear any of you guys chat shit about Ben Shelton anymore. That's it. Sorry. I don't want to hear no overhyped. I don't want to hear no why you guys always mentioning him. Like, I don't want to fucking hear it. The fact that he started his year like this, I'm sorry. We need to keep on talking about
100%.
It, okay? Like, he was out here reaching quarterfinals, semifinals at fucking Grand Slams, out here winning this title, out here making the sport entertaining, fans entertain, TikTok. It's full of Ben Shelton.
No
way,
seriously.
Yo, the girls.
Because I'm not on TikTok, so.
The girls are loving Ben Shelton.
Go on, Ben.
I'm telling you, he's got. No, it's crazy. Like, when I'm like on like the tennis section of like TikTok, majority of it's just Ben Shelton.
I love that.
Like, I don't know how. I don't know what happened, but literally the TikTok people are loving Shelton. The real tennis fans are loving Shelton. BSG support Shelton. Shout out to him. Shout out to his team. Shout out to his dad. And yeah, man, like that was just amazing.
It was
see.
A really good, like, it was very impressive as well to consider, like we said, that was his first time in Asia. So like, yeah. And it was an ATP 500 too. So it's like a higher categorized tournament.
Yep.
He did beat some pretty good players too, including Tommy Paul.
Mm-hmm.
That was a quarterfinal win in straight sets too. He had a difficult semi-final against Marcus Giron, or Giron, fellow American. That was a three-set match. And then the final, he just pretty much cruised that.
Yeah.
Oh, well, after the first set anyway. The first set was 7-5, 7-5, and then he won the second set 6-1 against Aslan Karatsev. So... a very impressive run from Shelton, and it was just again like I wasn't shocked, but like I was just obviously proud, but also a bit like there is a bit of a surprise there because I wasn't expecting this to happen so quickly.
Yeah,
like that's even though I know he's got the talent, like he's got so many weapons 100%. As we've established, like in previous episodes, but. Mm-hmm. Lucy, it's not easy to win a tournament, like six matches or is it five or six matches in a row? Like, it's difficult.
Mm-hmm.
So the
mm-hmm.
fact that he's done that, like, in his debut season, I think he needs a lot of credit for that.
Oh, yeah,
and
100%.
He deserves a lot of credit
100%.
For that.
Did you... I think one thing that surprised me during that, though, when he won, he was, like, very calm.
You think so?
Yeah.
I think he's a pretty chill guy,
though. No, but... I do you know what it was? That I've seen Shelton hyped.
Yeah.
And for a little moment, I asked myself, I really, 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 really hope those people didn't get
into his head. I hear you. I hope. Like, I don't think that's the case.
Like, I really hope it's not a thing. It's like...
He's dumbing himself down.
No, not dumbing himself down, but I'm hoping he said to himself, let me be humble about this because he wanted to.
Yeah.
I hope it's not a thing. It's like... Let me be humble before these people start calling and saying that I'm cocky and whatnot. Or maybe he said he did that because he's thinking, because one thing he said on court when he won, he was like, I'm looking forward to Paris. I want to think. So maybe he did that just to remain focused.
Yeah.
Maybe he was tired. I don't know. But I thought like at the US Open, he was like, you know, yeah.
In
or maybe because it was
though.
Japan or I don't know. Because you know, Japanese culture as well, they're very big on respect.
Yeah.
Like,
They seem to take to him. Like a lot of the there was a
every
lot
single
of,
tournament yeah. there was literally the crowd was going to Shelton. But I don't that was just like a little comment that I just highlight. I remember like, seeing
it's
it
an
and
interesting
I was
take.
Like, huh. Like I'm not mad at it. Do whatever the hell you want to do. I'm just hoping that whatever he's doing it because he wants to.
Yeah. No, I think he is. Yeah. I think he is. We should also talk about not so successful, but obviously runners up.
Oh, 100%.
So, as we're with the men, Arthur Thies or Arthur Thies.
Actually got a funny story about Arthur Thies.
Let's go. So this is it was in Antwerp. He lost in the final to Alexander Bublik.
So I think I was watching his semi-finals
against Tsitsipas.
Yes, and
what a win!
My sister was there. Was at mine.
Here we go. I know what's
and
coming.
And I was just, you know, I was just editing. And then my sister, I don't know who my sister was. All I heard my sister say was, who is that? I was like, I started laughing.
Wild scenes.
I was like, it's after your feet. She was like, whoo.
Listen, man, listen.
Listen, the ladies like feasts. But it was just so fun.
This,
like,
this is like
my
this,
sister.
This segment of the podcast is like the eye candy. Like, we've spoken about Ben Shelton being the girldom sugar.
I know, right?
TikTok,
the girldom, yeah.
And now, Arthur.
Yo, I've watched Tennis for My Sister so many times. She has not cared about saying one thing till she saw. And she started asking me questions about tennis. So what is this? So what is that?
She was
what
locked in. I love
yeah,
that.
She was locked in. So, you know. So ladies, if you're trying to get your friends into tennis, just put out your feet.
That's crazy, Lucy.
And that'll happen. That was so funny. Like the way she said it, like she said it with so much energy and it came out of nowhere.
Because
I was editing as I was literally watching the match. All I hear is, who is this? And I knew who she was talking about. I just laughed. But shout out to Feast. That match was incredible.
Straight
during
set.
That tournament.
Straight sets as well against Tsitsipas.
Mm-hmm.
Very impressive.
Mm-hmm.
All week as well. Like he looked like one of the favourites. I think he was seeded. So yeah, he was the fourth seed.
Mm-hmm.
And again, he's 19 years old. Doing it's this again for the first
think.
Time as well.
Yeah.
Like this is his first kind of run on tour, like as a... established kind of top 50 player.
Yep.
And again, he just looks so comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
And it's fantastic to see
mm-hmm.
for someone so young as well. I'm just laughing at the whole eye candy thing. Because yeah, he's a handsome guy. He's a handsome
oh,
kid.
Oh yeah, he's a handsome fellow.
And I like the fact that like, there was also kind of camaraderie between him and Shelton too, with the whole camera signing
yes,
thing.
Yes, oh my gosh, yeah.
Was it Humble and Hungry?
That was so...
Which was, I like that.
Great. I think that should be the name of the podcast.
I mean, that's it.
Humble and Hungry.
Bang.
But no, that was nice. Like, I think they probably like bonded a bit more because the Labour Cup.
Yeah, of course, yeah, yeah. Even though they're on opposing teams.
Yeah, but But
and also before at Wimbledon, sorry, not to cut you, but at Wimbledon they were practicing together. Like before Wimbledon, they were literally practicing together.
Yeah, because you went to a lot of the practice.
I just saw them before the start of the tournament. But that was good to see.
So
there is definitely, like you said, a relationship there.
Yeah, that was dope because it was organic. It wasn't forced. It was organic, and the fact that they did that around a time where although both of them didn't win, they still hit like a very important moment in their career. Yeah. Do you get what I mean?
Like, similar age as well. Like they're basically going to be in that generation now where they'd be playing each other quite often. Yeah, so that's quite exciting to see.
So that was dope.
Look forward to.
100%.
And on the women's side now, Jasmine Paolini, our Italian Ghanaian sister, at the kind of appropriately named Jasmine Open in Monastir in Tunisia. Yeah. Man, I was so like, for me, it was like written.
Yeah.
And she's beaten Elise Mertens before as well. I'm pretty sure I'm pretty sure she's beaten her. But yeah, Paolini Mertens in that final. I think Mertens was the second seed.
Well, she was the second seed and Paolini was the first.
And I think they're only like a place apart in the ranking. So very close in terms of like where they are right now, in terms of, where they are in the rankings. Mm-hmm. But I think Paolini was played like off the court, I think it's fair to say, by Mertens.
Yeah. I had a feeling it was going to be... So they head-to-head, Mertens is way ahead.
Oh, really?
4-1. So I think before that, she beat her three times and Paolini only beat her once.
Okay.
So there's that. That's what I knew. Because I remember there was a match that I watched where Mertens did win, but also Mertens way more experienced.
Yeah.
Do you get what I mean? And I think Paolini was definitely the fans' favourite. So I think maybe she was a little bit nervous, maybe.
Top seed as well. I think that's the first time she's been a top seed.
During that match, because the way she was playing that week was just crazy, but towards the end, whenever it was getting close, it's like the nerves were kicking a little bit. But either way, the way she was hitting, like there was one match, she finished it so quickly that she wasted no time. But like we said before in the last pod, she is a hard working girl. Definitely.
And it wasn't all like kind of doom and gloom. She did win the doubles event with Sara Rani, her fellow Italian. So that was good.
That was dope. Yeah.
But yeah, man, just good to see like our players doing so well. Mm-hmm. Like as much as it was a headache, kind of keeping up with everything. Man, it was great to see.
A nice feeling. Like when I sat down and realized, I was like, wait. And the thing is, what was nice is that how on Twitter we were all talking about it, like, I think this is the first time something like this has happened.
Yeah. Definitely since we've started, since we've been...
Oh, yeah, yeah. 1,000%.
Well, since we formed. Yeah. Like, we've never had a weekend like that.
Never. And I was like... And I didn't want to think, but when I thought about it, I was like, this is 100% the first time something like this has happened. 4 players like that.
I want more. And it's going to
happen. And we're going to get more, baby. Listen, hey. This season was just the beginning for you guys.
The warm-up.
This is the warm-up. We coming, okay? We are coming.
But no, man, brilliant to see. Should we talk about Felix or should we go into... Because Felix won the following week.
He did. Let's stick to the winners.
Yeah, I like that. Let's go. Shout out to Felix.
Let's celebrate.
Ojeadi Yassim. Hasn't had the best of seasons. But again, I was talking to colleagues slash friend, Uche, who we'll have on, actually. So look out for that, guys. But... Yeah, I was just saying to Uche how basically Felix, although he hasn't played the best this season, like he's always saying like the right things in terms of just very positive. Mm-hmm. And I think that's something you kind of have to have as a tennis player. Like if things aren't going your way, like you have to have the mentality that, you know what, like I believe in my game, things are going to click eventually. Mm-hmm. Like, although it may not look like it because the results aren't there, like... things are going to come good. And it was good to see that for Felix. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I don't know if you have anything to add on that. Well, looks like you do. Let's go.
I'm not dismissing that. But remember what I said the last pod? He is just like his birthday twin.
Ah,
yeah. That man knows what to say and how to say. I generally think I think he definitely speaks like into that positivity and stuff, but I think he purposely makes sure that you don't know how to read him, which I think is great.
Mm.
I wish in general in my life, I wish I was like that, but I am not. Like you, if I'm angry, you will
and
see
And you're the same star sign.
Huh? Yeah, it is. That's crazy. Yeah, we're all like literally us, Roger. Yeah, we're all like...
That's yeah, very
Leo.
Bad.
Leo gang gang. But yeah, I think it's a mixer too. I agree, but I think it's definitely a thing where... He's a very reserved guy.
Yeah.
I don't even think Felix actually even runs his own social media. It's too professional.
No, I think he does.
I think he does. I doubt it.
Really?
He doesn't really engage. He doesn't really comment. He just posts and goes.
Both Twitter and Instagram or just...
I think so. I think he has a... So I am telling you, watch in like 5-10 years, people are going to see this guy studied...
Because he's into like his fashions and stuff. Like, Roger Federer. And he posts like stuff. Well, he posts a lot of like off-court content.
Yeah, but off-court content.
True.
Yeah, listen, a social media manager that you pay per hour, you could do it. They will put a lot of these people, they're not the ones that are posting it.
That's a decent gig, boy. Like, yeah. That's a
hey, Felix, if you need something. I got digital marketing experience. Just saying. Shout out to the team.
Hey, Black's been first, man.
Anytime I'm like, yo, hey, YouTube is like, come on, man. The people know I belong here.
But just on Felix though, like, yes, yeah, so that was Basel. Basel again is an ATP 500. He won it last year.
So he was defending his title, which was even like,
it's brilliant. And he beat some big players too. So I did watch the Holgeroon, I think that was a semi-final match he played. And that was a straight sets win. And then it was Hurkacz in the final.
And Hurkacz has been very, like, he's been...
Solid.
He's been on game.
Hurkacz has been trying to qualify for the ACP finals, which he didn't, unfortunately.
Yeah.
But, yeah, he had that in mind. But, yeah, Felix took him out in straight sets.
Yep.
And I think their head-to-head as well, I want to say Felix is leading their head-to-head. Not sure about that, but, yeah. It's just good to see Felix back in the winner's circle, man. It's been a tough season.
Because I think he announced he's done with the season.
Yeah, he's done. So, even though Canada in the Davis Cup finals, but he's not part of the team.
Oh, he's not part of the team?
No. And I think that's obviously his choice. Like,
I think he should just rest out.
Yeah, it looks like he is, because I think, like you said, that post, he posted today as we record.
Yeah.
Saying that's it.
Yeah, that's it, yeah.
In terms of like tennis media content.
Yeah. He was like, well, tennis closed, that's it, something like that, yeah. I think it's great that he finished the season like that, especially like you said, the way that it went. Yeah. I'm not gonna lie to you, I did not expect him to win any title. But this time last year, maybe end of the year is a thing for him.
I mean, like, that's what we were saying.
Like Nadal, for example, end of the year is not really for him. Like, remember ATP? I think he's never won an ATP final, for example. Nadal,
yeah. No,
yes, that's what I'm saying. So maybe he's the other way around. Maybe end of the year is his bag. You never know. And either way.
That's the thing. We need to remember the season is so long. Like, the season is mad so long. So long.
It's mad long. Listen, there are thousands of players and he still won a title.
It's crazy.
So, hey, shout out to him.
So, and I think he is just inside the top 20 as well after that win. Because there was kind of, if he'd lost that final... And then also lost in Paris, which he did. I think he lost in the second round in Paris. There was a chance he would like drop outside the top 20, but I think he's secured a spot inside the top 20, which is good. Good for him. So
yeah.
So I think that's it in terms of winners.
But that was long.
Well, I mean, that was a long segment. I'm kind of scared to kind of get into the rest of it, Lucy, though, because it's like, where to start? Like, there's too much. Too much has been going on, man. Very, very deep sigh, but I'm with you.
In the words of Jose Mourinho.
You know what? I think, yeah, we should... go on. Sorry.
I would like to speak. But if I speak, I'll be in big trouble. I'll be suspended and I do not want that.
Correction. That was actually Mikel Arteta, but...
No, Jose Mourinho, they both did.
Okay, because
the
tweet you put up was like Mikel Arteta.
Yeah, that one, yeah. But Jose as well, he's done.
Jose's the original. Yeah, Jose's the original.
He's done like at least 10,000 of them where he's like, I would like to speak, but I cannot say anything. I'll be suspended.
Shouts out to Jose, man.
I will be suspended as well because.
Portuguese uncle.
Baby. And do you know what? Do you know why I'm even more scared of talking?
Why?
Because. Guys, I really want to clarify. I swear on everything, I was busting jokes when I said the WTA is redacted.
Oh, wow. Stop it.
The reason why.
Redacted.
Redacted. I'm not even repeating.
Say the word.
I'm not saying it. Do you know why? Because the very next day, someone from the tennis association, I think the Kazakhstan's
one where Rebecca is from.
My guy comes in and say, yeah, WTA is, yeah.
Well, not in response to you.
No.
Oh, it just was just in like general.
In general.
I mean, Newsy, it's like, it's kind of been muted. Like,
but it was still scary, bro.
Yeah.
Because I'm out here just busting jokes like, yeah. They you know, da-da-da. Even though I said allegedly, blah, blah, blah. And then the very next day I came out, I was like, uh-oh. And you need to keep in mind that WTA follows us. So I would like to just clarify. And I'd like to remind to all listeners, I do not know shit, guys, okay? I'm just here to report black excellence in tennis with my dear brother right here and engage with everybody else. I don't know anything.
One thing I will say though, and this is why we're gonna get into it, like it's not been kind of a surprise or kind of a shock to kind of hear the uproar, the backlash WTA is getting right now. Because things aren't good.
Yo, it's not looking good, bro.
For me, the players speaking, like that for me is like, that's the most powerful like statement you can kind of have.
Mm-hmm.
Because obviously the players are the ones representing like the brand or the association.
And also I want to remind fans, because I saw a lot of people tweeting saying, why is media not saying this? Why is media not saying that? Listen, guys, I promise you, a lot of them do want to speak.
Yeah.
They just can't. Because the issues are also affecting their job.
Mm.
People need to understand. For example, we're going to speak about it, but like the delay in France, for instance. Think about it. Reporters need to write and get false shit stories, ready for the next day. So if a match finishing at 1 a.m., that's them up. So it's just a thing where I really want fans and listeners, like, I'm happy that we have that knowledge and access now to be saying, because I probably be one of those people being like, why are these journalists not talking about it? Some did, don't get me wrong.
No, and some, even
those who spoke, they now in a position where they can chat like that.
Yeah.
Some of them, believe me, a lot of people do. But don't get me wrong, because I think they were also mentioning like some commentators during the match that were like, why are these players complaining? Bro, I am so sorry. These players have every right 100%. To complain. There's absolutely no way we can continue like this. I don't even know where to start with these.
Because this is what I'm saying. Like, where to? I mean, we should probably just go Cancun, which is obviously where the WTA finals were held. Even that in itself, like the whole it's setting up and arranging of like the stadium. It was just all very last minute. Just substandard, really, and for so many reasons as well. And it's quite difficult to kind of explain them all, because basically the podcast isn't long enough. Like literally.
So,
but if you want to, the main crux.
The what I want to.
It was a shit show. Sorry, I won't interject.
No. You speak in facts. Let's keep it real. Let's stop the BS. WTA final is even done. We can really, really speak, right? Let's
eventually
be for real.
It was held over a day.
What the fuck was that?
Oh man!
What the F is that?
It was wild.
So let's actually start with the fact that apparently, according to Magda Linette, she said that the player council actually even voted for this literally like in September.
Mad.
They decided on the location in September, right? Was either Cancun or Ostrava, because Ostrava couldn't 100% guarantee that Russians and Belarusians were able to play.
So Ostrava is the Czech Republic.
Yes. Mm. And I think that was probably the case for a lot of countries. Who knows?
Yeah.
Right?
Which I think all that is kind of being relaxed as well now. Like the whole, can Russians compete?
Oh, yeah. 100%. 100%. There's that. But even, scrap even all of that.
Yeah.
Why are we voting for that in September?
It's wild.
I'm so sorry. The WTA finals, that's something that should be ready. As in, even right now, if we fans don't know, Steve Simons and them man, they should know. They should know when's the next WTA finals as we speak right now. And I bet you any money, they don't know where the next WTA finals is going to be. That's literally one. The second, I feel like the second it was a bit like questionable and blah, 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 they should have just picked Cancun straight away or Saudi Arabia.
Oh, wow. We're going to say it.
Saudi Arabia.
Oh, we got cooked, on YouTube as well for saying Saudi. Well, anyway, we won't get into that.
Yeah. Even though now the Saudi Arabians are now going to ATP.
Wild.
We are losing the bag. We are losing the bag. And I thought we were going to secure it because Billie Jean King, she was like tweeting. She said, oh yeah, something about, yeah, we used to go to Saudi. Of course, listen, that check cleared. They paid BJK, allegedly, to come and say, listen, let's go to Saudi.
Because... Whoa, 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 whoa. My funk flex. Whoa, 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 whoa. No,
no. I'm joking, I'm joking.
I hear what you're
but
saying.
But that was, when I saw that tweet, I was like, oh, they paid you, huh? Because one thing, listen, I saw that FIFA documentary.
It was a switch up. It was a switch up.
Do you get what I mean? But anyways, but like, I just feel like the fact that they had to decide and they made a final decision on the 50th anniversary of the WTA and the WTA finals in September is absolutely insane, is insulting.
It's embarrassing.
To the players, is insulting to the fans, is insulting to the media, is insulting to, it's just ridiculous. Yeah. Like, I'm sorry. I don't know.
No, it's terrible.
Like, it's like, just...
I don't really know, like, in terms of what to... I feel it for the players more than anything because, like, this is meant to be, like, the showpiece event. Like,
bro.
For them, the top eight players in the world, like, both singles and doubles. And it's like, the association doesn't even care. Like, the fact
I'm out here working my ass off. I am paying people to help me reach my goal. I literally make sure, like, because that's the thing. I think they underestimate how much, like, players are thinking, I want to be at a WTA final.
It's a big thing.
Like, it's a massive thing. But I feel like the WTA literally downplays it.
Yeah.
And it's just ridiculous.
No, it is.
And then you have Mr. Steve Simon that then writes a long email.
Which I'm not sure was meant to actually be like published in terms of to the public, because that was for the players, wasn't it?
It was for the players, yeah, but yeah. I'm pretty sure he knew eventually it was going to be out there. Hence why he made it long as hell and tried to make it seem like he addressed something.
Yeah.
Respectfully.
Said nothing, really.
That was a whole lot of nothing. Mm. I wanted my 5 minutes back after I read that email. You're not addressing anything. Like, it was very general. It's like, oh, well, he put like a list of the things that the players were like concerned about. And it's like he was just repeating what the players were
exactly.
saying. There was no action plan. There was no solution. Do you know what's the most important thing? I felt like there was not a sincere apology that the players deserved. Like, I am so sorry. That was complete BS. Players practicing on the day or the day before of the WTA fucking finals.
Wild. And yeah, apparently the conditions of the court was terrible as well. Like,
yo, the courts were like literally like moving. Like, there was sand coming out. There was like, and the things was outdoors as well. I know when you're thinking Cancun, you're thinking summer and stuff, but hello, global warming is here, number one. And number two, like, come on, like.
The biggest takeaway for me as well, like with that, but mentioning the weather, like, surely it's the time of year as well. When you look at the tennis schedule events that this time of year, they're indoors. Like, that event should be indoors, like, no matter what country it's in, just because look at the backlog of matches that we've had. Like you said, the final was played on Monday.
The final was Monday
when it should have been on Sunday, and that wasn't because of rain on Sunday. That was because of the backlog on the Saturday, which because the rain was like, yeah, just non-stop torrential rain, and like literally every single match, I want to say every single match that I watched anyway, there was a rain delay in terms of players going off and coming back on. And it was a horrible watch.
It was just horrible. It was just
And that's horrible. For us as like spectators. So Can you imagine like what the players are going through, like in that kind of situation?
The courts were empty, which would have not been the case because, like I said on the last pod, Mexico and America is very close to each other. Like a lot of fans were actually like, I was obviously saying, but I was really serious. I swear to you, like Eugene, if
we're considered
had like we had the details early enough, 100% would have went. Do you get what I mean? Like it would have just been perfect. But it's like. The lack of care is very... I generally feel sorry for the players.
No, 100%.
I feel sorry for them. And
I want to give them credit too because I like how they all kind of... They spoke up in their own way, whether it was to the media directly or like through
Instagram.
Kind of subliminals exactly on social media, which again, that is a way to kind of get people's attention now.
Yeah.
Because everybody's on... Everybody sees, especially when a player posts something, like that gets clicks and eyes.
I did not think that they would actually speak because you know how tennis is... Keep quiet and do whatever, which is what some of the commentators were saying. I'm really glad that they spoke up. But most importantly, this situation was so bad that I was in a position where I had to agree with Martina. Do you know how crazy
Stop
that
it.
Is?
She's really that bad.
Oh, Eugene has been. Eugene doesn't know.
We'll talk about this off air. But
anyways, we'll talk about this off air for real. She said, respectfully, that Steve Simon might got to go.
Yeah, no, I saw that. And also, it shouldn't be a man in that position. It should be a woman.
I totally agree.
Like, that's for me, that's a logical thing. Like,
I don't know. Like, I would love to sit down with Steve Simon and ask him, Wagwan, what's going on?
And to be fair, Amazon tried to get him, as in Amazon Prime, because they were out there, obviously.
Yeah, apparently he was running away from the press.
And yeah, he basically, WTA declined an interview.
Of course you're going to do... I'm not going to lie. If I was in this position and I messed this up, I will run away too. So I get... No, but in a way of like... Because that's how much embarrassed...
Yeah,
like
yeah,
because
course.
What can
poor.
You say?
It's
no,
poor.
It's poor. It's poor leadership because at the end of the day, you are the leader.
Exactly.
Even if you're not the one who organized this and you're just chilling and you're just collecting the money, when something goes wrong, you are to blame.
Yeah,
and at the end of the day, that's the position that you take. You are CEO. Mm-hmm. That's what it comes with.
Exactly.
So... I don't know, the same way that we get cooked, if something happens with BSG, we take our responsibility 100%. And move on.
100%.
I don't know, man. It was just very unfortunate. The fact that we're celebrating the 50th year of WTA and this is where we are at.
Not a good look.
Embarrassing.
Not a good look, man.
Embarrassing. But WTA, not the only one that got cooked. ATP got
But you say
got
ATP,
a little bit.
It was Paris, really.
It was Paris,
Paris
yeah, but
Paris
it was
Masters,
bad, bro.
Yeah. This is gonna be mad, Lucy.
Okay,
for me, yeah.
Go.
Because the whole kind of controversy with Paris was that the fact matches were finishing like way past midnight.
Eugene, go on. Sorry.
And like, yeah, as a fan, I'm just speaking as a fan here.
Okay, got it.
Like, don't forget Paris. For us, they're an hour ahead.
Yeah.
I love late matches, man. I'm sorry. So from a selfish point of view.
Okay.
For me, like, I enjoy watching late matches, but of course, that is not sustainable, like, for players, man. Like,
I agree with you. I prefer night matches as well. But I'm sorry, the day match cannot be starting at 10 fucking p.m. What the fuck?
The second evening match. I know.
10 p.m.?
It's wild. It is wild.
No, come on. Come on. Imagine, let's speak as fans. You got a ticket, you're thinking, you know what, let me go to the night one, but I've got work tomorrow still. It's all right, cool. You'll be done at like midnight or something like that.
Midnight latest.
Bro, you're there till like 2, 3 a.m.
Wow. Half two, yeah. Going to three. Mm.
Let's be for real. So even as a fan, actually, I would love to know, because I was only reading stuff from like, I think some fans were actually, yeah, they were not happy. Because I think, for example, if you got like a night ticket, then you just have to wait till
really?
The I think
wow,
so.
Okay.
I don't know. I may be lying, I will love to know that if how they felt, but I'm pretty sure it was messed up. Because fam, imagine you got your whole day planned and then you're there till like late. But either way, they did obviously it wasn't the same as the WTA, 100%.
No, definitely not, yeah.
But it was definitely there because again, media was complaining, players were complaining. I'm so sorry, but Sinner should have not pulled out.
Sadly, yeah.
Because of your messed up schedule. I am so, that's so unfair. And it's not like he pulled out the first, second round. Literally, he was playing to go go to the quarterfinals.
And he pulled out, well, lack of like recovery time, basically.
Yeah, there wasn't enough. Fam, he was done late and they were telling him first match the next one. That's what I'm saying. At least if you're going to do that, make the schedule make sense.
Yeah. It's tough though, man. Like, it's very difficult. But like, I think the logical thing to do would just be to start earlier. Like, And maybe move some matches.
Just like Wimbledon, like people were saying.
Yeah. Simple.
Like people were saying.
But man, like what?
I don't know, man. What a week. Do you know what? But I said this on the BSG account on Twitter. There's a lot of conversation that we need to have when it comes to tennis. But one of the things that we need to have a conversation about is the lack of care after the US Open. I feel like the US Open happens, literally we're in a high, everything is great, it's done. People are not really, it's already hard to follow because you're now going from, there's already one big struggle. You're going from US Open time zone to Asia time zone.
Yeah,
or some in Europe. Yeah. Or some, if, like first of all, the tournaments are already all over the gaff, that's already one. But it's just like, I just feel like after that, it's like no one really, you know, already the tennis season is so long, so I know a lot of people are like tired. I was, after US Open, I didn't want to speak about tennis for a hot minute. I was tired, I was exhausted. Same as Wimbledon. I feel like every single Grand Slam, you get a little like, okay, let me just, you know. Yeah. But I feel like US Open is even worse because there's no big thing till like the WTA finals and, or the ATP finals. And you never know, maybe the WTA finals actually prep was making sense. There probably been a little bit more excitement.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I think there needs to be a little bit more effort and more interest because the last Grand Slam, funny enough, is the one where, in my mind, there's the biggest audience.
Yeah.
The US Open. I think US Open attracts the most audience probably than all the other Grand Slams. Being in America, especially like this year, we had an American winner, blah, blah. And it links a little bit more to what Sharapova was talking about, saying it was like, you know, a marketing issue and stuff. Take advantage of the fact that there are thousands, millions of non-tennis fans or even just watching, casual tennis fans. Take advantage of that and bring them to the rest of like stuff because all of these other tournaments are still entertained. There's so many, there's still great matches.
And
there's still great stuff.
And a lot of big players like competing. And big play-
Exactly. So, I don't know. There's a lot of things that, I don't know, man. This, I had, do you know what? I actually had a headache thinking about tennis, like what we're going to talk about tennis.
I could imagine.
A mess.
You know, listen, you've done very well though, man. You've done fantastically well. Just on Paris quickly, like we might as well go through like the results. There wasn't really that much to talk about in terms of our guys. Felix is the only player to really win a match.
Hey, listen. Like I said on BSG, we saw them bed bugs. We said we got go. So that's the excuse I'm going.
That was a quality tweet, by the way.
I was like, listen, I was like, man, all boys are gone. I said bed bugs.
That was quality.
That was bed. And because my plan was to go to Rolex Masters this year.
Really?
Yeah.
Like shout out to Yasmin Saeed, actually.
She was there.
She did say that there were no bed bugs in.
I'm not going to lie. See, the thing is, I am a pussy. Like, I get paranoid very easily. Like, do you know, I'm not joking. Even in my own house right now in London, like, I get scared. I'm checking my beds like crazy. Like, I'm just a paranoid person.
Wow.
So for peace of mind, I was like, stay home. But even my best friend who lives in Paris, she was like, Lucy, like you actually could have come. But I generally had it planned. Like I was like, okay, I'm gonna go Rolex Masters. That's why I went to Italy instead.
Of course. But just quickly before we go back to the WTA finals, I do want to speak about the finals and like just some of the matches that went on there.
Mm-hmm.
But just in Paris quickly, Felix, he won a match against, was it Yannanid Struff, and then he lost to Tsitsipas in the second round.
Tsitsipas went through
to the semis. He lost in the semis to Dimitrov, I want to say.
Yeah.
And then Dimitrov obviously lost to Novak.
Pulled out. Dimitrov, he had like a medical thingy. He had, I think he injured himself or something.
He finished the match.
Did he finish the match?
Yeah. Novak won in straights.
Oh, my bad.
Yeah. but I want to talk about Arthur Thies, because you in your rundown you spoke about like his coaching setup,
yes,
and like the kind of changes there, because he was working with
No, he's still working with that coach.
No, but also Ivan Ljubicic. He was obviously working with Federer when Federer was playing.
Yes.
But he wasn't like an official coach. He was just kind of there. Like, it was cool to see him like sat next to like his dad, like during matches and stuff.
Yeah.
But yeah, now it's with, well, he's with Sebastian Grosjean.
No, but I think that, that both of them are still his coaches.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay. Well,
from the article that I read, it was given, like, from what I was reading, there was no like thing saying he stopped working with his current coach.
Okay.
It was like the way they wrote it was like in addition, like he's added, like he's part of the team.
Because obviously Grosjean was the Davis Cup captain, which he no longer is.
Because I think Fils is the one who reached out to him.
Okay.
And I think he reached out to him during the summer. So even during the summer Davis Cup, he wasn't really that much involved, but he didn't really announce till like now, recently.
I think that's going to be quite exciting. And I remember Grosjean's like from my generation. Mm-hmm. So like I remember watching him play like with his cap back to front. Like he had his cap back to front and the tip up. Like it was a very unique style. And his kind of style of tennis was quite flashy.
Yeah.
Being French.
Yeah.
I'm quite excited to see like how that like relationship kind of plays out.
Yeah, on the interview with the way he was speaking, like you could see that they were both excited. Yeah. And like he knew already the things that they needed to focus on.
Fils is basically that guy now in terms of French tennis.
Oh yeah.
And rightly so, man.
He did have
disappointing. He did lose in the first round in Paris. He played Daniel Altmaier, the German.
Okay.
And he just played it. He was inspired as in Altmaier.
Yeah.
Fils, you can tell he was a bit like, I want to say, nervous. Mm. Maybe that's not the right word, but the occasion maybe.
Of course, you just left a final
playing on center court as well, like in Paris, like.
And even I forgot to mention this. That during that final, he was playing against a public that actually cares about tennis. Like,
true, and you did tweet that.
I was just like, hold on a minute. You that nobody. Why did we not get a public that doesn't care and is playing well? But like recently, which is a good thing because I feel like his mood has even changed. Like he's not as moody.
Also,
or angry.
He recently became a dad, isn't it? Public. He had a kid this year.
Oh, shout out to him. But but like he was playing like he genuinely wanted to win this. When normally he's just you know.
Yeah.
And boy. His first set. If I was an ATP player and I had to play against him, I'll pull up.
His game for indoors is scary.
Bruh.
Like, yeah.
His first serves are insane. I think there was one match where, I'm not kidding, he had like 98% first serves win.
And yeah, he played Big Foe in Paris.
Yeah. Again, and then, that's what I'm saying. I was like, yeah. I have an issue with you.
Tough. That was a tough, tough draw though for our guys, man. I do want to shout out before we get back to the WTA finals. We did have Christopher Eubanks in the main draw. So he lost in three sets to Talon Griekspoor, the Dutch guy.
That was a close one.
Griekspoor nearly beat Djokovic as well in Paris. So it kind of shows the form he was in.
Mm.
And for Eubanks to nearly beat him in three.
Mm-mm-mm-mm.
Shelton also lost in the first round. So he lost to Alejandro Davidovich-Fokina. And that was also in three sets. Obviously, Shelton's coming off the back of Japan.
He lost,
I think it was Vienna, first round to Sinner.
Yeah.
That's going to be a tough match.
Yeah.
And then obviously Paris, I think it's good going to like take Davidovich-Fokina to three sets.
Mm-hmm.
And then Monfils, he lost to Francesco Cerundolo. That again was in three sets.
Mm.
Close one for Monfils because he had moments there where I think he had match points. So
yeah.
It was tough.
Mm-hmm.
Tough loss there.
Mm-hmm.
So that was Paris kind of wrapped up. Obviously Novak won. That was his seventh ATP Masters victory in Paris. So shouts out to Novak.
On your own on that one.
but back to you.
No, shout out to Carlos.
Carlos?
Alcaraz, because someone did like I forgot the name of that diagram. You know when it's a diagram when it's like three circles and then it's like...
Yeah, is it Venn diagram?
I think something like that. I forgot the name of it. And someone did that for like the ATP.
Yeah.
And Carlos is the only one that's won like...
A slam.
All titles. Slam, 1,200.
Oh, wow. That's pretty cool.
And I think Novak missed out on one. I don't know which one it is, but probably 250 because he doesn't really play those. But yeah.
Yeah, I think I did see that actually. Yeah.
Yeah, sorry. I wish I saved it and I wish I actually had a person. Can you do one for WTA?
It might be a 500 that Novak missed out on, you know? Because I want to say he played.
All I know is missed out on one.
Yeah.
But Alcaraz is the only one this entire season that won all of them. So
that's
shout out
sick.
To him.
But yeah, back to the WTA finals. Before we do get into the tennis, I do want to shout out Ons Jabeur. Because, yeah, she was obviously, I think she's world number 4 or 5. So she won one match, basically, and that was against Marketa Vondrousova, who she lost to in the Wimbledon final. So that was like revenge for her. But yeah, after that match, she was really like emotional. And it was difficult to kind of, it was tough watching her like kind of speak afterwards, because you know, kind of, obviously she's an Arab tennis player, like former Tunisia. And what's going on, like, in terms of in the world right now, we all know with the whole, like, unrest in Israel. I don't even know if I want to read this, Lucy, to be honest.
Read it, boy. Let the people know.
Oh, man. So, yeah, after that win against Vondrousova, Jabeur, she was, like I said, emotional and pretty much in tears as she was, like, saying what she was saying, like, on court.
And I'll just the only player who's spoken publicly about this.
True. So I'll just read what she said. So she just said, basically, I'm very happy with the win, but I haven't been happy lately. The situation in the world doesn't make me happy. It's very tough seeing children, babies dying every day. And like, she was choking up as she was like saying this, and I think she actually paused.
I remember seeing the video.
It's heartbreaking, so I've decided to donate part of my prize money to help the Palestinians. I cannot be happy with just this win, with what is happening. I'm sorry, guys. It's supposed to be about tennis, but it's very frustrating looking at videos every day. I'm sorry, it's not a political message. It's just humanity. I want peace in this world. That's it. And again,
that's the key word, humanity.
I think it was very brave for her to kind of basically say 100%. What she said, because
a lot of people are too scared to talk.
And no one's really come out in support anything. Of the Palestinians. Let's just be real. Like, so the fact that she is obviously an Arab woman, and she used her platform to kind of state where she's at, I think that deserves a lot of credit.
That is so powerful. So, yeah, shouts out to Ons. And prayers to those in Gaza, for real.
100%. Back to the tennis. We have to talk about Coco Gauff. Again, she reached the semifinals. Got her first wins as well, like at the WTA finals. We should also give her credit, which we did in the last pod, I think, a bit, for reaching the WTA finals for like 2 years in a row as a teenager. I think the last person to do that, was it Sharapova?
Was it not Venus?
I think Venus was the last American.
I think Venus was the last American, that's it. Yeah, I think it was probably Sharapova,
So, like, to be up there with that kind of company, like...
Crazy.
And I did watch. Did you watch any of Coco in terms of in Cancun?
I watched just a bit.
It was difficult to watch. Let's be real, as we've established.
Yeah.
But I did watch that Vondrousova match from start to finish, even though there was like, I want to say, 5 rain delays. But Coco easily could have been like, you know what, I'm done with this. Like, I want to go home.
Is it?
But she literally just dug in. And I was like... This girl's special. Like, there's something about her that is, like, different to the kind of normal... Well, we all know she's 19, but she's not your normal 19-year-old, is she?
Facts.
But, yeah, just seeing her, like, kind of channel this kind of, like, inner competitor that's in her, I was like... I'd almost hadn't seen that before, which is weird, considering she's a Grand Slam champion. But...
It's nice to see.
Yeah, and it just because of, like we said... That whole tournament was a shit show. So the fact that she was like, you know what, I'm going to lock in here and I'm going to get this win. She did. And it was just very, very, very powerful to see.
And showing how much she's improved.
100%.
Again, mentally and physically 100%. And as a player.
And she did, she lost to Swiatek, the eventual champion, in the semi-finals, which was a bit, it was sticky because she lost the first set. Was it 6-love? I think it was a 6-love set. But then she leveled up in a second. And she had opportunity. I think she was a break up in that second set. I wasn't watching, unfortunately. But Iga didn't like play her off the court, like as she has done with.
I couldn't watch the rest of the match, but I do remember going back on our Twitter, someone did say that they were like, Iga actually wasn't playing her top best. Which
against Coco. Really?
That's what one...
Basically, Iga, like, she swept the field.
Really?
In Cancun. Yeah, like, literally nobody, like, came close. Wow. Maybe Coco. Was it Von Drusifer? I think Von Drusifer came quite close in the first match.
Okay.
But after that, yeah, maybe Coco in that second set. But Iga was just too good.
Listen, you got to give credit when credit's due, man. It is what it is.
So she's back to number one now as well.
Yeah, she's back to number one.
Yeah. And again, shouts out to her too, because
no, 100%.
For her to lose number one spot, how many Grand Slam did she win this year?
And the thing is, she was really upset about that.
Mm.
I didn't realize how important, how a thing was that for her. Like, she was really, but I think it was a mix of a personal goal of hers and also the pressure that she was getting.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, this year she was really open about the amount of pressure that she gets. And I look at her and I'm like, bro, you're fucking killing
me.
Yeah,
like, she's like a robot. Like,
you don't really, and the thing is, in terms of like competition, you're like, yeah, there's people, yeah, it's tough here and there, but you're killing it. Mm. Like, I remember there's one point, at least I tweeted, I was like, I hope she takes the time to enjoy this moment. But it's funny because it shows you how much I am a Serena fan, because I got so used of Serena being number one for years and years and
took
years
it for granted.
That I generally forgot the importance of being number one to players.
Yeah.
Like, it is so insane. Mm. Like, when players are like, yeah, I want to be number one, like WTA player, I'm like, yeah, I want to be number one. I'm like, what? But then I remember, like, you know what?
It's a big thing.
Yeah. That is a big thing. That was Serena's goal, but I got so used of her being number one for years, 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 years. That it's just so weird, like, no, hearing it for me anyways.
I hear that.
But either way, shout out to Iga, man. Like, you have to give credit when credit's due. Like, she's done really well this year. She even the times where it was tough for her and, you know, she had some of, like, the pressure going in at her, she still did what she had to do and she won a big title. Mm. WTA Finals is not a small
title. It's massive, man. It's big. And to end the year as well, number one. Like, to win that back, I think that's also like it's like icing on the cake. So, yeah, she deserves a lot of credit for that. And I think, again, it's going to make... I like what Pegula said as well after her... Well, during her, like, speech. So she was, like, basically, like, you make me, like, want to be a better player. Like, you upping... And that's what she's doing to literally all of them. Like, she's upping 100%. Their game.
100%.
So that is what you want. Like, as fans, like, that's kind of what you want to see.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
so
definitely.
I love that Pegula, like, acknowledged that.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, man, WTA, please do better, man. We need a better structured WTA finals, please.
You guys are lucky.
The players deserve better.
That I do not want to jeopardize this platform.
The,
I would have
the
been,
players deserve
I
better.
I would have been talking like crazy, but I am holding back. And no, I want to thank the Lord for giving me the power to hold back. Because believe me, I have so much more to say, but I'm just not saying it.
You did good, Lucy.
Thank you very much. Very hard for me.
Just to close, though. So we've got the Billie Jean King Cup happening this week. So we've got Team USA.
Oh, the team is... Yeah. There's Sloane. Clairvy.
Taylor Townsend. Clairvy's not actually in the team, but she's there.
Oh.
I think she's there like as a hitting partner, which is cool.
Oh, okay.
Good experience for her.
Yeah.
And also Italy are in there as well. So so basically, USA, they're in the group... Well, they're in Group A with Switzerland, which is tough, and also the Czech Republic. And Italy are also there. Shouts out to Jasmine Paolini. And they're in Group D with France and Germany. So some pretty big nations there.
Yeah.
Obviously, like, Poland are there too, but there's no Iga, obviously. USA, there's no Pegula or Goff, obviously. Who else is missing? I want to say Rybakina. Kazakhstan are there, but... Rybakina is she's actually playing, so she's made the trip.
Oh, I'm surprised.
And Von Drusifer too for the Czech Republic.
Okay.
So some players have made the trip, some players haven't. Understandably, like the fact again, scheduling like ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
So there, that's kind of something to kind of look or keep an eye on happening this week. So, and that's happening in Seville. I want to say Seville, Spain.
Nice.
I want to say Tamani's there. You know, I think. I want to say he is.
The Ogadi top.
hardest working man in tennis. So yeah, guys, keep an eye out for like the Billie Jean King Cup. And like obviously we'll keep you posted as well, like on the socials with that. And I want to say that's actually it, Lucy.
That's it. Shout out to Serena Williams, who is looking like a baddie
damn.
At the CFDA Awards. That is how you do it.
We have to.
Sorry,
obviously,
guys,
be posted.
When it comes to Serena Williams, I'm going to
living icon.
Living icon. Shout out. She looked stunning. Shout out to her team.
Yeah, so she was on at the Council of
Alexis
Fashion.
Alexis was probably like, time for baby number three.
No, she looked good. She looked very good. But yeah, so she was honored at the Council of Fashion and Designers of America Awards. Mm-hmm. And that was for her contributions to American fashion. But also she was acknowledged for like her work as a designer and like entrepreneur too, mm-hmm. which is pretty cool. Mm-hmm. So it's just always good to see Serena, man. Like, obviously it's been nearly a full year now since we've not, well, since she evolved away from tennis. So...
I miss her so much.
Aww. But it's good to see her like out and about and like just enjoying living.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
It's nice.
I really thought she would be way more reserved than that.
Really?
Yeah.
Mm.
I thought she will be. Her sister's more out there than her. Because Venus, at least she posts tennis related. I feel like Venus,
even
because
Venus
done,
is still playing.
Yeah, but even if, I feel like if even if when Venus is done, she will still fit.
Well, she got the whole YouTube thing going on.
Which I love. It's very, very entertaining, to be fair. But yeah, we will be back for the final pod of the year.
So yeah, our final pod, it's going to be after the next-gen finals. Because obviously we're going to have, God willing, Ben Shelton and Arthur Fils competing in that.
Mm-hmm.
I'd make them favourites as well. I'm sorry.
It's so funny. I was about to say, we might have them in the final.
Can you imagine? Well, that'd be amazing. I wouldn't be surprised.
Where is Next Gen?
Saudi. So Riyadh. Ooh. Getting the A-Rab money, huh? No. Might have to edit that out.
No, we're not editing that. No, no. Listen, we're getting the Arab money, okay? We're getting our good money, okay?
But no, guys.
We need to deal with the fight. It's going to happen anyways.
Of course, man. Like, they're even talking, ATP are talking about bringing starting the year in Saudi Arabia with an ATP Masters.
To a point where it might even scrap out the
United
Cup.
Which I like the United Cup as well.
I like the United. When I saw that, I was like, oh, come on, chill. I'm here for Saudi, but chill. Like, listen, see, WTA, you missed that bag that
crazy.
You need.
Crazy. Yeah, so well, guys, we'll be back for that. And then that will obviously be our like roundup of the year. So, and we have a bit of a surprise coming up with that as well, which we'll announce closer to the time. Yes. But very exciting, man. And
for real.
It's been a long season, Lucy, but I'm glad we're nearly at the end.
After that pod, I'm out, man.
Mate, we got the Australian Open starts in January.
When I mean I'm out, I'm saying do not, Eugene, when we say cut of that last pod, you're blocked. Everybody's blocked. Every tennis related content is blocked. Give me a break. But no, it was, yeah. We'll be back soon, guys. Make sure that you tune in on socials. Anyways, we're going to be active on there. Follow, comment, share. Tell your mom, your uncle, your friends, your haters.
Your sisters
your girlfriend,
that like
Arthur Fils. Your mistress. Your everyone. Yes. You're so silly. All right, guys. We'll catch you on the next episode.
Cheers, guys. All the best.
Peace.